The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
John.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 277. Thank you for checking out the episode, and I hope all is well with you. Well, I am doing good, and I mention that only because last weekend I received my second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine, and I had a few side effects the next day, not going to lie. I felt kind of lethargic and I had a headache, just didn't have a lot of energy. But compared to what some other people have experienced, I'm going to consider myself lucky. So if you haven't gotten your vaccine, you should go do it. I'm going to take a stand and say, you know, let's help get this pandemic over with so that we can have comic book conventions, we can go to concerts, we can go to sporting events, we can go to the movies, all right? It's what we got to do. Now, I'll get off my soapbox for a moment and talk about my guest for this episode of the PVD Cast. My guest is Mick Manhattan. He is the gentleman behind The Scene Snobs, which is a great podcasting channel or podcasting network, if you want to call it that, of which the PVD Cast and Matt Talk both appear on. And I wanted to have Mick on for a few weeks now. It just so happened that the schedule allowed he and I to sit down this past week and talk a little bit about podcasting from all different angles, from how Mick got into it, to the creation of The Scene Snobs, to his philosophy about podcasting, you know, especially when it comes to certain topics. But we also talk about pro wrestling, movies, hockey. He busts my balls a little bit. I give him some shit. So it's going to be an entertaining episode, and I hope you enjoy it. With that, before we get to the conversation between myself and Mick, I need to let you know about a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, and that, of course, is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics, comic book supplies, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, posters, thousands of back issues. I mean, if you're looking for a particular back issue, like maybe G.I. Joe 37, they probably have it. So definitely you need to check out the store if you're in the Central Ohio area, or you can get in touch with them through the interwebs. They have a website. It's wgcomics.com. They're also on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. Hell, if you want, you can pick up the phone and call them. I know, who does that anymore? But you can call them. Phone number is 614-891-3000. And no matter how you interact with the people at World's Greatest Comics, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Mick Manhattan. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to what's going to be, I guarantee, a fun conversation. John Orlando here, along with Mick Manhattan, the man behind The Scene Snobs. Mick, how are you doing, man?
John Orlando, who the hell names himself after a city? Yes, I'm Mick Manhattan. Thank you for having me.
That's a very good question. Who the hell does that?
I'm named after a borough. You can't hold that against me. I went low. You went high.
What can I say? You know, go big or go home.
So let me ask you this. Why Orlando? Are you just a really big fan of Gator World?
No, it's actually It's going to bring the mood down when I tell the story. It really is. Orlando was actually my father's first name.
Oh, very cool.
So when he passed away, when I was 18 and I got into wrestling, I was like, I need just a name that sounds, you know, kind of normal, but has a nice ring to it. Because I'm from the old school. I believe that, like, as ring announcers, referee, ticket takers, you know, those type of people, they shouldn't have outlandish names. Like, I'm not making this up. I worked a show one time where a referee called himself Baz Peacekeeper.
That's a great name.
No, it's not.
I mean, names are important, and they should mean something. Like I was saying, I don't know if you heard, because I think it kind of broke up a little bit, but, like, I have a similar with Manhattan. That was my grandmother's vagina's name. So we, when she told me that, I said, well, I'm not going by anything else.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I'm just kidding, of course. That was my grandmother's vagina's name. That was where she lost her virginity. I told you, you're in for a ride tonight, man.
I am in for, I'm going to hold on tight because this is just going to go all over the place. But you know what? Before we get too off the beaten path, let's talk about the scene snobs real quick. Let's talk about the network.
Nobody wants to talk about that. That's stupid.
No, we need to talk about it. We need to talk about this. It's growing. It's growing. Take some pride.
Oh, my God. Man. Oh, my God, is it growing?
How many new shows have been added in the recent history here? Like, last 3 or 4 weeks?
Last 3 or 4 weeks? Oh, my God. I don't even know. I can't count that high. There's got to be over 30. I think I was at 34 last time I checked. So we got 5, 3. What's 5 and 3? You're
8.
You're the guy. You're the math guy. 8 plus 5.
13.
Plus 4.
22.
Plus another 4.
26.
I love this. I don't have to do any math. Plus another 3.
Was that 29? Did it 26
to 29, yeah.
29.
Plus another 4 is 33. So 33 shows. And we have... So there are 2 other shows. So it's 35 altogether.
35, man.
Oh, my God. Why am I doing this?
So why are you doing this? Let's ask that question. Why?
I don't know, man. All right. I'll give the backstory. I give it to everybody else. But I'm going to give it to you with a little more flavor because I like you. Yeah, screw all the rest of them. I've been doing podcasting 10 years now. I worked on a site called Mario Likes Movies. That was brand new to me. I had no idea what the hell podcasting was, but I was like, you can do this? All right. And then, you know, Casey, who is my co-host on one of my shows, the Scene Sounds podcast. Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. How did I forget that? It's on my hat. So he had a radio, internet radio show or station, I should call it, called Off Topic Radio. And I would come on, I was a filmmaker at the time, so I would guest on his show a bunch of times to talk about projects I was working on and stuff. And I dug it. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, what you guys are doing are great. And they had like 3 or 4 shows at the time, you know, but I was like, this is amazing. I want to do this. But it was very rudimentary compared to now. And social media wasn't as huge back then. Like, it was getting bigger. So, you know, we had a show for like 6 years called Mystery Elephant Radio. We did that for a long time, did pretty well with one of the guys who ran it. We had a fall, and we didn't really have a falling out with. He, you know, he's getting divorced. He was kind of having tough troubles, and he just, everything went away. And from that point on, I was like, man, I want to run a station of awesome shows, you know, have my own network. And I was writing movie reviews under the Scene Snob. So I went with that, and I was like, well, scenesnobs.com seems to work, so I'll do that. And then long, boring, short story, scenesnobs.com came about, and it was still boring until all you guys came.
There you go. Cool.
So kind of weird.
I can speak that I appreciate the opportunity to be on Scene Snobs because, you know, long story short, you know, I've been on other networks too throughout the history of the PVD cast. And, you know, for one reason or another, it always seems that something happens where I feel like it's in my best interest to move on. just because of the way things are happening or things behind the scenes, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not going to go into all that. I mean, that's all.
Is this, are you trying to tell me something right now? Is this what you invited me on for?
That I'm leaving you?
You're moving on?
I'm moving on. I wrote you a nice letter. It was a Dear Mick letter. I mean,
Dear Mick letter. Oh my God.
And don't worry, I've received a lot of Dear John letters, so I know how to compose one. So
I've written a lot of Dear Dick letters.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta get crazy sometimes. You know? Hey sailor. That was fun. Wear a condom next time.
You know what? True story. I had a date. And it's kind of a long story, but it was basically I was being hooked up by a relative. You should go out with this girl, blah, blah, blah. So she emailed me. Her very first thing was, in her email was, Dear John, I think it's time for us to see other people. It's not you. It's me. And then she's like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to wait and send this to you after we go out. I thought that was hilarious. I laughed. I was like, that, you know, kudos to you. Yes. That actually was pretty good. I'll give you credit on that one. So.
And you married her, right? That's what happened.
No, that's how it started. No. That's no, I did not. Never been married.
So, all right, you asked me a couple questions. I'm going to ask you one question.
Sure, go ahead.
And you can think about it while you ask me other, you know, involved questions in my wonderful, fascinating life. What is in the past 30 years, the best Stanley Cup winning team, in your opinion?
Cool. 30 years. Now I got to do math. So that would go back to 91, right? Wow. I mean, the Penguins fan in me wants to say the 91-92 Pens because they went back-to-back. I mean, you had Yager, you had Lemieux, you had Brasso, Kevin Stevens.
Such a solid. And Lemieux is my favorite player of all time, so.
Yeah. But there's so many good. That's a tough one.
You're going to hate my answer.
What's your answer? Go ahead.
94, man. 94 Rangers.
94 Rangers. Oh, man.
Messier, Leach, you got Richter. You got, oh, my God, they just had everybody. It was such a wonderful team.
Okay, and they beat the Canucks, too, with Pavel Bure, Trevor Linden, Kirk McLean.
It was such an amazing year, too.
Do you remember where the fan threw the – remember the controversy where the fan threw the puck into the net? Yeah.
Yes.
They threw a puck
yes,
into the net. At the exact same time, McLean tried to make a save, and there were two pucks in the net, and they had the big controversy about it. I remember that.
It was – that whole series was just truly amazing.
It was.
That was my team.
I'm going to try to – man.
Yeah, I'm going to be quizzing you. Yeah,
man,
you
go. I don't know. I mean,
you're wearing a Bauer hat. You got to know. You got to answer these questions properly.
I know. I'm just – dude, it's hard. It's hard. All right. You know what? I'm gonna stick with 91-92 Penguins just for the. I'm gonna go with it.
I cannot argue with that. That was a great team. Okay. All right. You shoot. You ask. It's your show. You ask me a question. What am I asking you?
Well, my question I was gonna ask since we were talking about podcasting. Do you think? And let's just be honest. Do you think there's gonna be like a wasteland of podcasts after we get back to normal? Post-pandemic, do you think people are going to be, oh, man, I got nothing to do. I'll start a podcast. And then, you know, 2 years from now, I got 24 episodes. Now I moved on to something else.
And you're going to see, like, yeah, there's going to be a ton of drop-off. And honestly, as much as people may be pissed off to hear this, I'm counting on it because I started this before, and this is a business for me. I'm not looking at this as, you know, just playtime because I'm bored, and I understand why people did it. I'm not putting them down for making a podcast during COVID. I think it's been a great outlet for a lot of people, and you've gotten a lot of great shows and found a lot of great podcasters from it. But 2 million new podcasts, they're not all great,
right? Sure.
You know, I've been very fortunate to team up with a lot of really great podcasters. Yourself excluded. But
hey, now,
no, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're terrible. That's what I mean. No, I'm just kidding. You're great. And I love your podcast. And you talk about things I actually like to listen to, which is another point I have to, when things open back up, you're still going to have a lot of podcasters hanging on, but the audience isn't going to be there. Not as much.
Yes.
And the audience that is there is going to want to be entertained, and they're not going to put up with BS. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have a lot of podcasters out there who aren't changing who they are, who aren't adapting, becoming better at what they do in terms of hosting. And if you remember what podcasts were like, and you do, because you adapted and you changed and you throughout the years, you know, and you became the entertainer that you need to be for your audience. There's a lot of people who don't do that. And they just ride it and think, I'm a podcaster because I can podcast because it's available to me. When that audience really comes back, and this is, and podcasts aren't going anywhere. They're going to be a wave of the future. They're going to be what people listen to because this is what people have helped people cope. They're going to find BS and they're going to weed it out. They're going to say, we're not interested in this. You know, you're not getting any better. And, you know, it's in no uncertain terms, it's shit or get off the pot. You know, figure out what you're doing or stop doing it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I strive every time to do a better episode, get better, to figure things out, to, you know, eventually I would like to do video, to be honest, Mick. One of the reasons I don't do it is because I have like this perfectionist OCD type of, you know, dilemma where if I did video, I want it to be good. I want it to be clean. I want it to be pristine. I want, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want flubs. I don't want that. And that's just more time that I don't have right now. I mean, the way that my life is, I don't have time to edit video and audio and promote and, you know, do all this other stuff that you have to do to have a successful podcast.
You see, my beginning started in video. So like, video is always important to me. Scene Snobs from the beginning started in video.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't live, but we started in video. So we had our days, our scheduled days when our shows would come out, and they were video as well. I always wanted to be video as well as podcasting. It's just something that it's a medium I enjoy. I love videos. And I'm more entertained laughing along and feeling I'm there with a lot of great podcasts, you know, when I can see them, especially. Yours, another one. Like, I don't need to see it. So like that right there tells you, and I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I promise you didn't pay me for this. So
wait, the check has already been cut. What are you talking about?
You paid somebody, but it ain't Mick Manhattan. Might be Nick Manhattan. if I can listen to your show and still be interested, then you're a good podcaster. And that's what it comes down to. Try and go out and watch a show and then try and listen to their podcast version. If you have trouble listening, then they're not entertaining. And it doesn't, you know, the editing is very important. Don't get me wrong. I don't really subscribe to too much of it. I like the flubs. I like, we play with them. You know, a lot of guys and girls, they don't want to do that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a place for well-edited, good shows, and it is a good place, and they're way more top-tier than where my shows are. But I want to focus on the variety, the entertainment. You know, once you come into our show, I want you to experience it, you know, whether it be audio or visual. And I try to play to both. I try to be very, you know, audio in the way I speak during the video. You know, if I'm talking about comments, I'm reading the comments along and then maybe making a comment about it. So I want people who are listening later dates to turn around. And I've been lucky enough to get compliments in that way where they're come back and they'll be like, we do feel like we're still there. And if you feel like you're still there and you're still enjoying it, then I felt like I'm doing my job. But there's a lot of people who don't do either of those things. They don't worry about the entertainment. And they don't worry about what it takes to edit and put a broadcast show together. And they're going to fail. They really are going to fail.
All right. Well, let's move along and talk about.
You don't want to talk about failure anymore? You don't want to talk about all these podcasters' failures? Come on. I'm trying to rip out hearts here, man. I'm trying to end dreams.
That's what you decided this morning when you woke up. You're like, it's time to destroy dreams today.
You can't see me, but I've got a clenched fist. Of all you little podcasters out there. No,
in all seriousness, I think if you're listening to this, again, I think the main gist of what we're trying to say is do it. Be a podcaster, but put your heart into it. Do the best that you can. Learn, evolve, get better. You know, for years, I considered myself damn lucky if I got two episodes out a month.
That's still great, though.
Yeah, and so it wasn't until, you know, the last couple of years that I've been consistent to get one out every single week. So you got to just start somewhere and just do it.
But you got to pivot too, and I want to move on, to the topic you want to go to. But you have to be able to pivot at all times. I know I have to pivot to different things. When this is kind of slows down and things open back up, a weekly live show may not be what people want. And if it's not, then I'm willing to pivot to what people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who aren't going to be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And but you have to, because, you know, people are going to be out. They're not going to be sitting there on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. watching my show like they were.
Right. You know, let's talk about it. Do you worry about numbers?
To a point, yeah. I mean, for the business side of it, you need to know your numbers. But I'm right now, I try to focus, like, last year's goal was content. Getting as much content as I could out there and getting the brands seen and known. This year, my focus is not just content, but making it good content, like really good content, fixing it up. And I'm not talking about all the shows that are joining, because those are their shows. That's, you know, whatever they want to do. If I like them, more than happy to have them on a CSOPs. I'm talking about my content. I'm always trying to adapt. I'm always trying to change myself. Like, I listen to you guys, I listen to other podcasts to learn as much as it is to see what you guys are talking about, how you're talking, what's the cadence in your voice, what works, what doesn't work. Because, like, there are some guys who are the show boys are a good example of this. They have a very easygoing cadence. That is what I call a bedtime podcast. If you just want to kick back, relax, listen to a good show, and then they're just soft spoken, you're not going to get, like, in your face yelling. And I'm going to go right to sleep on them. And that's a compliment. You know, mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't see that, like, you know, fall asleep to this great podcast. I'm going to get back to it if I fall asleep during. It's mm-hmm. because they are those guys. They're that interesting to keep me going. And then, like, but can lull me to a point. And then there, you know, like, I need Three Geeks podcasts on my Sundays. That is a good Sunday show. You guys picked the right time. You're live. You're kind of you're a panel, but you're kind of in your face. Max is very, like, all over the place. Dan is going to drive people nuts. You're going to drive people nuts. Like, Jason is very somber and very, like, calming. You have a good mix. And the reason I bring that up is that's a good Sunday show. Sunday is supposed to be a day where you're just relaxing, you're listening to things. Maybe you're watching football. Maybe you're watching, you know, whatever else is on. But, like, you have to harness what your talents are.
Mm-hmm.
And is kind of my point. And, you know, you have to know who you are. I know what the Scene Snobs is. Scene Snobs isn't lulling anybody to sleep. You know, our podcast is, it's supposed to be wacky. It's supposed to embrace the absurd. It's supposed to talk about the things we love talking about, but also put a twist on it where people are like, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing at this completely the whole time, but it's so inane, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I go for, but that's my style. I like that, you know,
the Save Brady podcast-a-thon or whatever the title was. I could never get the title right, but that was an example of, like, pivoting a little bit to fulfill a need, which I don't know, to be honest with you, if there's been anyone else in the world that's done something along those lines. So do you want to talk a little bit about how that came together and why you felt like, yeah, we're going to do this. We need to do this.
We did. So helping charities, raising awareness for mental health, raising awareness for a lot of different things has always been on the agenda. I've always wanted to do it. Social injustices, you know, Black Lives Matter movement was marching. I spoke out. You know, a lot of people weren't. A lot of people were trying to shy away in the podcast community. Because, you know, especially like the geek related podcast, things like that. And you got to hit it head on. I made a statement, but my whole goal is entertainment. First and foremost, I want to entertain. But if I can help along the way, anything that I feel I'm able to help with, I'm going to do it. Now, we did that. Our first 8-hour marathon show was Thanksgiving night. The reason I did that is because the year before I did it was my first and only live broadcast of 2019. And I never thought I would do it. It was just a Zoom thing. And that was before COVID.
Yeah.
You know, I just found that you, not, no, it wasn't Zoom. It wasn't Zoom. It was Facebook Live. I'm sorry, Facebook Live. I don't know why, because I went from Zoom to Discord. No, I went from Facebook Live to Discord to Zoom. That's what it was. I was, so it wasn't Zoom. It was Facebook Live. And I went live for like an hour or two on Thanksgiving night. Because for me, there's a lot of people who spend their time alone on Thanksgiving. And I wanted to give them a place to like comment along and hang out. So we did that again this year, but we did an 8-hour show. And it was just, it was Casey and I hosting, but we had like guests on. Not very much like, you know, this is more like we were just on just kind of from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. just talking crap. Having a good time, you know, but a lot of people said like, oh, it felt good because COVID's here and a lot of people didn't go see their family. Like they were happy to like kind of have something. I'll always continue that because I know Thanksgiving can be tough. So when Save Brady came around and Mitch, one of the co-hosts of Carpool Shenanigans, started GoFundMe, I was like, I got to save this little dog, man. Look at that puppy. I saw that picture. I was like, I got to do something. And I went to Casey and I was like, listen, I've always kicked around the idea of doing a telethon. I want to do one for a while for small businesses, especially in like the Winchester, Virginia area, but anywhere, really, anybody who gives, like I'd be happy to give out wherever I can. So I was kicking around this idea. I went around, never really came to fruition. A lot of the businesses were just like, no, we're not really sure what we're going to do. Well, Save Brady came along and I was like, let's do this. Let's do an 8-hour show where we just get some of these awesome podcasters and entertainers to come on and we'll just do the old fun telethons we used to watch. And then, you know, people give, they give, we'll try and make it happen. We reached our goal by 10 PM that night and we still had like 4 hours to go, you know, on the show. And then we reached more for another cat that needed surgery, you know, to try and help out. But It was one of those things like, I don't see it out there. I don't see people doing it. I've heard of people doing charity events live on like social media, but nothing like that. And I was like, well, why not? I was like, people always seem to enjoy those old telethons. You know, you get all those fun people talking.
So is there an update for Brady and the, and I don't remember, what's the cat's name? I can't remember the cat's name.
Well, the cat's name was Skeletor.
Skeletor, that's right. I don't. Why would I forget that? I love He-Man. How could I forget that? Holy shit!
Skeletor, I'm still waiting on an update for. They're still collecting. You know, we're still trying to help, but Brady has had the surgery. He's got the cone on. He hates the cone. He's doing very well. I did a social media update, but I should put on the show like how Brady's doing. Yeah, he's great, man.
Cool. So
we saved Brady.
Awesome. Although, as the He-Man expert, you really probably should name your cat like Panther. So, I mean, just saying.
I'm in. I'm all for it. I don't have a cat, so I will if I ever do.
Do you have any pets?
I had a dog. He passed away, and I have not been able to bring myself to get another pet.
Sorry to hear that, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's 3 years ago now, but it was just like, I was like, I remember when we got him, loved him. He was a great dog, but I was like, yeah, you know, I was kind of like standoffish. I never really had a pet before. So I was like, all right, I'll take care of you, but whatever. I'm not going to be your best friend. And lo and behold, he was my best friend.
Yeah. And that's so always how it works.
Being in that room when we had to put him down because he had cancer, I was like, yeah, never again. I can't do this. So like, I want another dog, but like, I'm still like riding that like, never again feel.
I understand. I understand wholeheartedly. I gotcha. So what's some of your favorite movies? You're the scene snob. Let's talk about them. If you, I don't know. Do you want to limit it to 5? What do you want to do? You tell me.
I want to think about movies. I want to know what you think about Andrade getting kicked out or not kicked out.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll put that question over to the side there for right now. Favorite movie?
Trying to kick me off with your movie question. Oh well, thanks, man. I get it. I know where you're going with this.
First off, number one, Andrade getting released from the WWE is not surprising. They haven't done anything with him. He was super talented. I got to be honest, he's a guy that grew on me. At first, I did not much care for him, but then he just kind of he grew on me. Zelina Vega teaming up with him, that was a great duo. I hated the whole storyline where he bickered with Angel Garza because I thought they were a great team. I tend to agree with a friend of mine. I see Andrade going to Ring of Honor and trying to salvage that failed experiment with Rush because La Faction Ingobernables or however it's pronounced, that faction's terrible. They need Andrade over there because I'm not a fan of Rush. I'm not a fan of Dragon Lee. I'm not a fan of anybody in that group, to be honest with you. So
I'll tell you, I think a lot of these younger guys need to go not to AEW right now.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I know it's the popular thing to do, but the AEW was pitched as this is going to be sports-based, competitive pro wrestling. And it's not. And they got to get back to that. That's what sold everybody. That's what got me to go to All In. That's what got me to go to All In Double or Nothing, you know. And, well, that and StarCast. I won't lie. StarCast, I was like, yeah, I'm going there. But, yeah, they got to get back to that because I just feel like AEW, there's some great stuff, and then there's some absolute garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved that they were a big tag team friendly company. You know, WWE has been destroying tag teams for God only knows how long now. But, we're seeing really good. We were seeing really good tag teams in AEW. And then let's sign this veteran. Let's sign this veteran. And I thought it was cool at first when they were managers. I was like, all right, that's cool. I like Jake the Snake as a manager. I like Tully as a manager. Arn, good old Arn running around. They're kind of like Paul White's now on there, and I love Paul White. Don't get me wrong. I love the Big Show, but really? Like, I mean, you have a lot of young talent.
And I think if they'd stopped there, we wouldn't be, but then we wouldn't be criticizing if they stopped with Paul White, but now it's Christian Cage. And it's like, tune in this week. Let's see who they're going to dust off next. Who's next?
And every week it is somebody and you're just, but the problem was for me, you would get like this veteran name come in. And then they'd also put out like this new guy that, you know, if you're a fan of wrestling, you know, new guy or girl coming in and they put up the title card and it's like, but nobody saw that because you put this up and you were promoting it everywhere. But hopefully they'll get back to what they need to be.
Exactly. Did you watch Fastlane?
I did not. I have been on a boycott of WWE since Vince really screwed his people with COVID. I do read and watch.
Like, oh, okay.
So I did not watch Fastlane, though. Was it good?
It was okay. And there were two very good matches, and then they just ruined them with the finish. The main event, I thought Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan was a great match until the finish. And I was like, oh, really? This is what we're doing? I felt that Apollo Crews and Big E was a fantastic match until the finish. I'm like,
Roman Reigns run in with his stupid Superman punch?
Well, sort of. Spoilers for anybody that hasn't watched it, although it's Thursday when this episode drops, so if you haven't watched it by then, what the hell are you doing? Anyways, Edge kind of turned on everyone because he got accidentally hit with a chair by Daniel Bryan, so he walloped both of them, and then Roman pinned Daniel Bryan. And I'm like, so basically, Edge came back, he's the feel-good story, and now he's the asshole. What? Huh?
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
They don't.
They really don't.
Oh, if only somebody would be smart enough to give me their wrestling company.
I would love to see that. You'll get it one day, man. They're going to see you.
You'll get it one day, John.
John Orlando is going to walk up. They're going to see your old promos for Remake Revolution. And then that's gonna be
You know what? I'm excited for Remake Revolution. And you know what? Let's talk a little bit about it because it's going to be happening next week. So longtime listeners of the PVD cast know that the Three Geeks podcast and Mike McGee TV do these little games called Remake Revolution, where you're given usually a subpar film, usually, and you have to remake it based on a pitch of the plot, writer, director, cast, marketing, and it's great fun. We have a blast doing it. But this time, we've decided to do like a week-long tournament. We invited people back. We've had some new folks join, And honestly, we were having a blast just talking trash, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. I wish more people would get into the trash talking. Like, stop messing around. It's fun.
I know. I have another promo already in the can. I'm ready to drop.
It's just going to be you and me, but I'm fine with that.
Let's just keep going. That's okay. It is time sensitive, so it'll drop this weekend because way I've structured it. So it'll be fair. But yeah. I enjoyed yours. I enjoyed your invitation of like The Rock, where you just referred to everybody by their other names, which are the canned pears and the three princesses.
I threw in there was a hint of Hogan, a little hint, this is a very small hint, a little bit of Piper, with a couple of things like the stench cast, you know, and then I had thrown in The Rock a little bit, but I had to get, you know, I'm a big guy, so I was like, I gotta do this in a way that kind of. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Like when Tim was like, oh, yeah, you didn't even throw out a woo. I was like, this wasn't Flair. He wasn't a part of this one. He'll be part of another one. Don't worry about that. I got, you know, there's enough in there. But, you know, before we get into my movies, I want to ask you something.
Sure.
Best tag teams of all time.
Oh, best tag team of all time. The Road Warriors. Hands down. The Road Warriors. You?
Damn, that's a great question. I wish I thought of it. I did. If I'm going with just, I'm gonna go the Hart Foundation. I'm gonna go with Anvil and Brett.
Okay. How about worst tag team?
That's a great question. Because you want to go with like the real true stinkers, and I can't.
No, I actually would just go with like ones that I was like, eh. I didn't, they did nothing for me. Not saying that they weren't great wrestlers, but I was just like,
Yeah, but like that's the last like 10 years of WWE. They're just throwing people together and it's like, yeah, this isn't fun.
Yes, I agree. Tag team should have matching gear. It should be a unit.
Yep. You know. Perfect example today is the New Day.
Right. Yep. Agreed.
Perfectly in sync. But they'll break them apart, and then they'll put, like, two people together that have no business being together.
You mean, like, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler?
Oh, they're the meanest. They have the mean faces. the mean faces tag team. You know who's a great one, too? The Dudley Boys.
The Dudley Boys, yeah. They I would give fantastic. Them that.
And they're probably my favorite hardcore team.
Mm-hmm. See, I was a huge fan of ECW back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no. I did. I liked it. And I liked it for all of it because, you know, look, it's got the reputation of, you know, the weapons and the tables and all that jazz. But, dude, Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero, those clinics they would put on. Whew, oh, man.
Man, Eddie Guerrero was probably the best of all time.
Yeah. And, I mean, I also was a huge mark for Raven because his promos were great. I mean, that was the pinnacle of that character was in ECW.
Yeah. Great choices, man. Those are really good. See, you know what you're talking about.
Oh, I do.
I have a little list right here that, you know, and that Mark from the Fandom Effect is telling me that you're right. So, no, I just said, you know what you're talking about. So I want to hear like the experts weigh in.
Okay. Well, there you go. Tag team best of all time to me is the Road Warriors, just because they were like nothing that could ever be replicated. And no matter how many times you tried to, whether it was Demolition, the Powers of Pain, it didn't matter. Even the shitty like Road Warrior Animal and Heidenreich. Ugh.
They reached through generations. Like they were like 80s, 90s, 2000s. Like so, and right up until the death. Was it Animal's death?
Hawk died first. And then Animal died like in November.
That's right. Yeah. So it was Hawk who passed away first. So, up until he died, man, like they were still pretty popular.
Yeah. That's why when people ask, what's your favorite episode, John? It's the one where I got to interview Road Warrior Animal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I talked to him for literally 4 minutes, but that was the greatest 4 minutes of the PVD cast ever in my mind. So
that's fantastic, man.
All right. Scene snob. Let's talk movies. Give me some of your best, your favorites. Any genre.
Let's see. The Seventh Seal. Sophie's Choice. The Day the Clown Died, Cul-de-Sac. If you can't tell, I'm picking some very foreign new wave
drag. All of which I've heard of, but haven't watched one of those yet.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. I mean, listen, if you're a film connoisseur, and, you know, I guess I had to be at some point, or I thought I was when I was real pretentious and real young, pre-beard and pre-hair being wherever I want it. Yeah, I watched those, and I was like, yeah, well, I'll talk to you about the filmmaking side of things. But now it's, I've figured out what I love. And that is Back to the Future. It's my number one favorite movie of all time. I love RoboCop. I love, you know.
I have a story about RoboCop.
Go for it. I want to hear it.
I suckered my aunt into taking me to see RoboCop when I was like 8 years old, right? Not knowing anything. Like, just, oh, this is cool. This is a RoboCop, right? She doesn't pay attention that it's rated R. You know, doesn't pay attention to that. We get in. I lasted 10 minutes in that opening scene. And then I started like crying, and I looked at my aunt. My aunt was like, we're leaving. And my aunt yanks me out of the theater, right? She stops. I remember this. I'm a mess because I've never seen this level of violence before. Like, you know, I'm a mess. And she's giving the business to the ticket guy. Like, why'd you let me take him in there? You knew it was rated R. And the guy's like, ma'am, that's your kid. First of all, it's my nephew. It's not my son. And I can't believe you let me take. Do you know what, how violent that was? Ma'am, again, we don't care. Yeah. And then we got out the parking lot. I was like, Aunt Stella, please don't tell mom that we saw this. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's scars for life, man. Scars for life. Yeah, man. I love that movie so damn much. You know, stuff like that just sticks out to me. You know, like the stuff that's fun, the stuff that people revisit. I've figured out, like, yeah, okay, Godfather 2 may be one of the greatest movies ever, and I'm not arguing that, and I think it is. I think it's a great movie. But I'm tired of being a film snob. I've realized the irony of that statement. I'm all about being a scene snob, which is just enjoying or hating for the right reasons what you watch. Mm-hmm. And I really never hate anything. Even like the stuff that I really don't like, I will find something I appreciate about it.
Oh, you're better than me, because I hate all the time on stuff that's like, don't even ask me about G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, because I'll just say that.
Greatest movie of all time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Greatest movie of all time. The true origin story of Cobra Commander. Oh, no, that was the first one, wasn't it? I don't even know which one was which anymore.
No, I'm talking about the first one. I never even saw the second one. I like, no, I'm not going to.
The second one was insane. Better than the first, because The Rock made it better. But, yeah, that first one was tough.
That first one sucked. And, I mean, I am, like, a hardcore G.I. Joe fanatic. And I was like, really? This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could not wait to leave that theater.
I think my favorite was how much they built up that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing Cobra Commander, and he was literally in it for one scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not play Cobra Commander at all.
That movie, can't stand that movie. You know what? Do you have any movies that you hate that you would not watch again?
I have plenty of movies I probably won't watch again. I don't know that I hate them. I will never watch the 2017 Justice League again.
Even the Snyder Cut?
I will watch.
Or no,
I
you watch the Snyder. Okay.
I love what they put out. The first one broke my heart. But again, I still found things that I can at least appreciate that were in it. And now they're glimpses. They're not worth watching the movie over again for it. But, I did like Wonder Woman in it. You know, I did like Ben Affleck as Batman in the movie. I thought he made some weird choices, but now we find out that was Joss Whedon, or Joss, whatever the fuck his name is, Whedon. Am I allowed to curse on here? I've been doing it the whole time.
Sure, yeah. That's fine.
Fuck yeah, man. Great show. I don't think I've ever, I mean, because you usually have classy people on the show. I don't know why you picked me, but... there's certain movies that I don't hate, but I probably would never rewatch. Empire Strikes Back, terrible movie. I just want to see the vein in your head grow.
Come on, man. Come
Nobody on. Else can see it because it's audio, but I can see it. It's amazing. I love Empire. Empire is my favorite of the series.
Empire is, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, man, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I know what I hate. I do hate one. And this is a true fucking story. I'm saying it. Sound of Music. I hate that movie with the passion of 1,000 fiery suns.
Why do you hate it so much?
Because it is the stupidest movie I've ever seen. I've watched it 3 times now. Once when it was my grandmother's favorite movie, so I watched it with her, and twice with my wife because I love her. Mm-hmm. She loves that movie. And every time I'm like, the most interesting concept of the story starts in the last 10 minutes, and everything else was just god-awful. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, you're cutting it off when they're running from the Nazis? That's where your story ends. What? But I had to sit through. I was like, don't either give me just the lovey-dovey bullshit in the beginning, which sucked anyway, so I probably would still hate it, but or give me the running from Nazis, because that's not where the real story ended. They didn't make it to the hills and everything was all right. It was this harrowing journey that would make an amazing movie. And no, they're singing behind the, oh my God. And the fact that they hid behind the Nazis, they hid from the Nazis. I'm so pissed off now. You got me. What did you do to me? All right. They hid from the Nazis behind a gravestone, all 97 of them. We're not caught until the stupid junior Nazi boyfriend caught them. I don't know. This movie's stupid. The movie's just stupid. No. I don't understand why people watch it and revere it as like this great movie. It's so dumb.
All right, enough said.
Yeah, I hate that movie so goddamn much.
All right, well, Mick, do you have any other last questions for me before we start wrapping things up?
Yeah, how big's your...
Whoa. I'm going to interrupt Mick's inappropriate line of questioning for just one moment to tell you about a great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all of your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, posters, tons of back issues, basically anything you need, they got. And best of all, unlike Mick Manhattan, they're family-friendly. You can bring the kids, or heck, even grandma, over to the shop, and they can enjoy some comic book goodness from the great staff at World's Greatest Comics. So, if you want to check them out, a couple different ways you can do that. You can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, or they're also on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And heck, if you're old school, you can pick up the phone and call them. The phone number is 614 area code 891-3000. And no matter how you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD cast.
I love throwing it off because I know you're thinking about it. You're like, should I answer this? And you shouldn't. You absolutely shouldn't. You should.
I don't really know at this point. I mean, I would have to probably do measurements and get back to you on that.
All right. I think we're going to have a live reveal on our show. Coming to visit. And no, you're not going to show anything. We're just going to put a camera on you. You go in the bathroom, you check, and you come back out. No, I'm just kidding. You threw you off with that one. Now you're thinking.
I'm rattled now. You got me. Good job. I wasn't ready for that one.
I got 2 kidney stones in my body right now. I'm in pain. I'm having fun. I came on this show and I was like, John Orlando, he's not getting a normal interview. He deserves something special.
Because you have 2 kidney stones in you?
Well, no, because you deserve something. No, the Orlando part deserves the special. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't put words in my mouth, sir, along with whatever you're packing down there. I don't want it. Save that for the lady. Everybody's on audio right now, just like, what the... I love your eyes right now because your eyes are like, what is going on? I was going to bring something special, man. Everybody else asks me all about what I'm doing with the scene stops, what I'm doing about this, what I'm doing about that.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to make you have fun. I'm going to make people be like, who the fuck is this guy?
And I mean, because, you know, I plug the scene snobs all the time. So now they know. They know. They have an inkling as to what goes on with the Scene Snobs channel.
And I'll never be this way on anybody else's show.
Okay.
Oh, only if I come back on here. I'm never going to do it or my show. I do it on my show all the time.
Well, it's your show. You're allowed to do as you damn well please.
And I'm the tame one on that show. Casey's a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he, how many ascots does he wear or have?
I don't know, man. That guy, I love him.
The fashion plate. Let me just tell you that right now.
He's got so much going on in the fashion world. I don't even, but he's got some awesome fashion sense in the sense that like he owns like an aviator's cap from like 1940s, you know, and with the goggles and all. And it's like, how did you get, who gets this? Where did you buy this? I was like, but I want one. You
know, he's got the hookup.
We do some all right, crazy. Mick,
where can folks find you on the internet?
TheScenesNomps.com. That's your best bet. You know, you can find me there. You find all our social media, every link to everything, all our shows, social media, the whole nine yards.
There you go. Okay. Dude, but, it's been fun.
Make sure you scroll down all the way to where it says PVD cast and listen to that.
There you go. Yeah. Or Matt Talk.
Yes. Matt Talk. I hate you guys for that show.
Because you're listening now, aren't you?
No, I'm not just listening. I'm watching Matlock and I hate you for it.
Are you? No. Are you really?
Yes. I hate you guys. I started watching along, but I'm doing one by one. So don't get me started. I'm not like continually binging. I'm like, oh, I want to know what they're talking about here.
Oh, that made my day.
Well, I hate you.
You know, there you go.
That's why I came down here and I was like, I'm going to be an ass. No, I'm not being an ass. I don't think I was pretty good. I think I asked some pretty good questions.
Good. All right. With that, though, let me close things up. I'll go to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was a wild ride, wasn't it? Mick told me he was not feeling good and he was going to be ornery, and he certainly did not disappoint. But I hope, nonetheless, you enjoyed my conversation with Mick talking about podcasting and a ton of other things. And you can let me know whether you liked the episode or not. Let me tell you how you can do that. First of all, if you want, you can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You could even leave me a message on the Instagram and Facebook feeds. Just look for @pvdcast. And the PVDcast is available basically wherever you find great quality podcasts. And it's also available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. And I need to let you know about a little change that's happening to the live broadcast schedule. That's right. Of course, on Monday nights, 8:00 Eastern Standard Time, yours truly will be doing the live broadcast of the PVDcast as I normally do each week. Also, too, though, the Scene Snobs have been nice enough to replay that live broadcast. And it used to be on Tuesday nights at 7:30 Eastern Time, but it is now going to be on Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. With the Scene Snobs network growing so much over the last couple of weeks, the schedule had to be rearranged. So the PVD cast will now be 7 p.m. Sunday nights. By the way, my other project, Matt Talk, that I partner with Jason Taylor, it's also available through the Scene Snobs, noon on Saturday. Check out some of the past episodes. We've been still getting a lot of feedback about Matt Talk. But you know what? That's not what this is about. This is about wrapping up the show. I'm getting off on a tangent. I don't want to do that. So with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.